Jesus began his earthly ministry with these words: "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." There is no distinction here between Jew and Gentile. The kingdom of God is for all people, Jew and Gentile alike, as the Gospels clearly say. Although the ministry of Jesus was primarily to the Jews, the Gentiles were not at a disadvantage, as this miracle proves. At first glance, this account of the feeding of the 4,000 men seems to be no different than the feeding of the 5,000. Some practitioners of higher criticism, a destructive method of interpreting the scriptures, say that the gospel writers were confused that there was only one event. And clearly, the average reader doesn't see much difference between them. But there is a very important difference which underscores the fact that there are two miracles detailed by Matthew and Mark. Luke does not include the feeding of the 4,000 men. The audiences are different. In the feeding of the 5,000 men, the audience is Jewish, while the feeding of the 4,000, the audience is Gentile. The Gentile is anyone who is not Jewish. And the terms Gentile and nations are used interchangeably in the scriptures. They are non-Jews. "In those days" is a phrase which indicates a shift in circumstances. In chapter 7, Mark tells us that Jesus went into the region of Tyre and Sidon with the added comment that he didn't want anyone to know that he was there. And here he healed the demon-possessed daughter of a Gentile, Syrophoenician woman. Mark calls her that explicitly, a Gentile woman, a Syrophoenician woman. Jesus then moved on to the Decapolis, where he healed a deaf man with a speech impediment with that single word, "Ephatha," that is, "be open." Incredibly, these Gentiles are receiving the visitation of the reign and the rule of the Messiah. The Old Testament speaks clearly that the Gentiles were included in God's plan of salvation. The Jews were to be a light for the Gentiles. And every Sunday that we sing the Nunc Dimittis after receiving the sacrament, we repeat those words of Simeon as he held the Christ child in his arms: "Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of the people of Israel." Mark chapter 5 tells us of Jesus' first foray into Gentile territory. And of particular interest is the healing of the demon-possessed man in the Gerasenes. Jesus allowed the demons to possess a herd of pigs, definitely Gentile territory, because pork was forbidden for all Jews to eat or have contact. And at the end of the account, the Gentile man who has been made well begged Jesus that he might follow him. But Jesus denied Mark records. "And he did not permit him, but said to him, 'Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you, and how he has had mercy on you.' And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone wondered." So this crowd that had gathered on the far side of the Sea of Galilee in the district known as the Decapolis, that is literally the 10 towns, was not far from the Gerasenes. The crowd is exclusively Gentile, not Jewish. So how did it happen that 4,000 men plus women and children had gathered to listen to Jesus and follow him for 3 days? The Syrophoenician woman? The deaf mute? Could it have been this formerly demon-possessed man whom Jesus had healed? Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. I firmly believe that that's exactly what he did. What Jesus told him. And so the word and this man became an evangelist to his neighbors with astounding results. 4,000 people show up. Plus 4,000 men, plus women and children. They hung on Jesus' every word. There is no record of the words which Jesus spoke to the crowd. But he no doubt talked about the kingdom of God and that he was bringing salvation and that the messianic age had come. But they forgot about him. Sometimes we get engrossed in something that we forget to eat. Service, but if I were a gambling man, I would bet that most of us have already thought about lunch today. Full stop. But there is yet more evidence to back the story that Jesus came to save the Gentiles, that is, all nations, but this is a separate account. One word from the feeding of the 5,000 men and one word from the feeding of the 4,000 men. In English, it's the word basket. But in Greek, it's a different word in each account. And this is why we require our pastors who preach to know Greek. In the feeding of the 5,000 men, it's kofinos, a basket in which a Jew would carry his food. It's narrow at the top and wide at the bottom, kind of like a water jar. In this account, meaning of the 4,000 men, the word is sporidas, a hamper-like basket, one that the Gentiles carry. And it's the same word used of the basket to lower the Apostle Paul over the wall in Damascus. It's much larger than the Jewish baskets. The Roman baskets, also known as creels, held enormous amounts, about 50 loaves of bread. That term creel survives today as a fisherman's basket for holding fish that he has caught. Commentators have calculated that the leftovers would fill 750 loaf baskets. That's a volume of 350 loaves, to say nothing. I have compassion on the crowd, said Jesus. They'd been with him 3 days. His heart was out to these Gentiles. He saw their need, their physical need, and he met it. He didn't turn them away any more than he turned away the 5,000 Jewish men. The bread of life has now come to the nations, to the world. Jesus came to satisfy our hunger for eternal life, and he feeds us with life-giving words. He proclaims forgiveness to us. And this compassion of Jesus stands front and center. Luther has taught us to pray this way, if we remember to give thanks for our daily bread. The eyes of all look to you, O Lord, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing, from Psalm 145. And then Luther instructs, then shall we say to our Father, and following, Lord God, Heavenly Father, bless us in these gifts which we receive from your bountiful goodness, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Jesus feeds us certainly with earthly food, the food on our tables. But he also, more importantly, feeds us with heavenly food. "You satisfy the hungry heart" is the title of one of our hymns. It's hymn 641, if you're curious. And it's the refrain in each of the five stanzas. It's about the Lord's Supper, what Christ gives us to eat and drink in it. And this supper is for only one kind of person, the sinner who knows his sin and hungers for mercy and forgiveness. And that's what this miracle underscores. Christ has compassion on sinners and feeds them with his own true body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. So our Lord invites us, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all of you who hunger for the words of eternal life. Forgiveness without end. Penitents are never turned away." The hymn writer says, "Come unto me, ye weary, and I will give you rest. O blessed voice of Jesus, which comes to hearts rest. It tells of benediction, of pardon, of grace, and peace, of joy that hath no ending, of love that cannot cease." Our Lord Jesus Christ himself feeds us miraculously in his Holy Supper. He gives us his true body and blood under the bread and wine in a miracle which far outstrips the bread and the fish. How it happens, we cannot explain any more than we can explain the multiplied loaves and fishes. But we trust it because our Lord Jesus Christ says so. He provides forgiveness, renewal, and strengthening for you in his people. It's hard not to be struck by the abundance and the feeding of these 4,000 men. There is more left has multiplied the resources beyond just enough. And this serves to remind us that Christ's mercy never runs out of it. It can't be exhausted. So the crowd could not eat all that Christ provided. And so it is with Christ's compassion and forgiveness. Sometimes we think that surely God's forgiveness must run out for certain people. Perhaps for you, that we've exhausted God's patience. Our sins are unnumbered and repeated, but sinners cannot exhaust Christ's supply of mercy, compassion, and forgiveness. And so as often as we come to this holy meal, Christ supplies what we need in superabundance. And in this supper, both Jew and Gentile share Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. If Jew and Gentile are united with our Lord, who satisfies our hungry hearts with his life-sustaining body and blood. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Please stand as we confess our faith in the Lord today.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ.